Welcome, everyone. My name is Trig, and this is webcast episode number 13 here on Gozo TV. I want to just thank you for joining us today on this Google Hangout. This is a beautiful Southern California afternoon, and today is probably about 75 degrees. And so to all of you out there who are longing for spring and just can't wait for summer to come, let me tell you that there is hope, okay? It is going to happen. Today, I am just so excited. I am joined by someone who I've just recently met, but I've been very impacted by because of her story and a book that she's written. Her name is Amy Simpson, and she is an author. She has been an editor. She's an award-winning author, and she also has a lot of training, both professionally as well as in her own life, dealing with the issue of how to find joy when it comes to being a caretaker. So we're going to talk about today to Amy Simpson. So Amy, I just wanted to give you a second to say hello to our audience and to just tell us maybe a little bit about where you are and a little bit about your background yourself. So welcome, Amy. Glad to have you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me with you, Trig. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you and with anybody who might find joy from watching our conversation today. Yes. Like you said, I'm an editor. I'm a writer. I work for a company called Christianity Today. I work part-time there as an editor, and then with the rest of my time, I am focused on writing and coaching. I'm a personal and professional coach. So there are a lot of things that I do spend my time on professionally. I work as the senior editor for Leadership Journal, so I'm thinking a lot about, that's a publication for pastors, thinking a lot about church leaders. And as you mentioned, my most recent book is on the topic of mental illness and the church's mission. So I'm thinking a lot and talking a lot about mental illness and how it impacts the lives of individuals and families and how that intersects with the role of the church and the hope that we can find through the church. And I'm talking to you today here from the suburbs of Chicago, where it's actually sunny and in the 70s.
Yay,
not too different from what you've got today. So that's exciting.
That is wonderful, and I know you're probably being a little shy, I guess, about your book. But from what I understand, you are the author, as you said, of the book "Troubled Minds: Mental Illness and the Church's Mission," which, correct me if I'm wrong, is a 2014 Christianity Today Book Award winner and the winner of the 2013 Leadership Journal Book Award. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's one of many winners in both of those competitions. Just a real honor for me to receive the recognition that this is a book that has made an impact on the church and that has something very valuable to offer to people in the Christian community.
Wonderful. Well, as my listeners and our viewers know, this is Gozo TV, and the idea here that we have is to bring joy to everyday life. And, you know, there are so many things out there that can bring us down. You know, you look at your wallet and you're wondering, man, where is the money going to come from? You look at your car and you think, oh, man, you know, like my brakes are squeaking and making noise. Or you look at the weather and today is beautiful, but, you know, maybe for some out there, it's like a gloomy day. And there's so many things that can bring us down, and especially in the area of having someone in our family that is dealing with the issue of fear and anxiety or depression or schizophrenia or different topics. And we know as people that care and love them that they are creative types. You know, we ourselves are those people often. We are meant to be people of joy and people of passion and of creativity. But a lot of times, we as the people who have to care and serve people in mental illness or that struggle with these issues can lose our way, can maybe lose our own sense of joy and purpose and passion for what we're trying to accomplish. So Amy, I am so intrigued as I was listening to your amazing speech that you gave at Saddleback Churches a few weeks ago about the stories that you told. And I specifically want to ask you this question. For people that are caring for others, people that could be, maybe they're teenagers even, and they have a grandmother who is dealing with some illness. It could be blood pressure, it could be all the way to something like we said mentally. mentally, a mental kind of issue. Or it could be someone who is now an adult and who's seeing their parents age, and maybe their parents are dealing with these issues. What have you found as ways to keep perspective and to keep joy and grace as we ourselves, as you, have had to do this? What has helped you maintain perspective in your caring for other people?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's a significant challenge for someone who's in that position, and I understand what that's about. And sometimes we get, when we're caring for somebody else, sometimes we get a reward from them, you know, when they acknowledge that we've done something nice for them, or we can see in their life that it makes a difference that we're there, and we can find joy in that. But sometimes that doesn't happen, right? Sometimes we're caring for somebody, and you know, I've been in this situation at times with my mom, who has schizophrenia. Sometimes when I'm helping her or I'm trying to help, she doesn't recognize what I'm trying to do for her, or she doesn't ever say thank you, or, you know, I don't necessarily get that kind of reward. So you have to look a little bit harder in a little bit deeper to find the joy in that kind of situation. And I've found that one of the things that helps me is to recognize that nobody's ever worth giving up on. You know, we're never at a point where it's okay for us to just give up on somebody. And part of what reminds me of that is the fact that God has not given up on me. And that I know from scripture and from my relationship with him that God does not give up on people. He never considers us beyond his reach. So because of that, it gives me a little bit more motivation and energy to keep going and not give up on other people too. And recognize that there's, God always has a purpose for everyone. My mom's illness did not take him by surprise. The fact that she has schizophrenia, you know, isn't something that derailed God's plans for her. He still has plans for her. And so being involved in that, being a part of the purpose that God has for somebody else, is a great privilege. And for me, I've been able to find some joy in that, you know, the privilege that comes with being part of whatever God's doing in and through somebody else.
That's right, yeah, and really the reward often is the love that we feel, the relationship that is built. It seems like one of the mistakes or the misconceptions that people make when caring for somebody with a certain issue, a certain mental or a physical ailment, is that it's always difficult and it's always hard and it's always unrewarding. But, you know, my guess is that we both have stories of times when we maybe would laugh at a situation where our parents, in my case, my grandmother, who dealt with high blood pressure most of her life, would do certain things that would just make me laugh, would crack me up. I remember she would always want me to take her to Rite Aid. And Rite Aid is, I don't know if you guys have Rite Aid back there in Chicago.
Yeah, the pharmacy.
Yeah, the pharmacy, yeah. So I just remember, like, now that she's gone, just every time I go now with our children, with my wife and our family to Rite Aid, it's a pleasant and wonderful memory. And at the time, I don't think I really appreciated it as much, but now I do. But can you think of a story, maybe a specific moment now, where you can look back? Obviously, thankfully, you have your mom, you have the relationship with you, but have there been moments that you can think of? I know I'm asking you kind of like here, spur of the moment, but can you think of a moment or two where you thought, you know, yes, on the surface, this looks maybe like it could be difficult, but I can find the joy in this. Can you think of something like that that would help our listeners?
Yeah, as you ask that question, so many things come to mind for me, because I have had a lifetime of being in relationship with my mom, and she's very important to me. And even though that relationship has had its difficulties and it's been hard to watch her be so profoundly affected by illness, we have so many good memories and so many good experiences together too. And you know, I think, for example, of when I was in high school, my mom was very sick. She was hospitalized many times during those teenage years, and my family didn't have, I mean, we were really poor. We were living in poverty. We were living on public assistance. Yeah. We really didn't have anything. We didn't have as much as we needed, let alone extras. you know, so I had to get creative in dressing myself and, you know, finding clothes to wear. And the cool thing was that my mom had taught me how to sew. So when I was younger, when I was in elementary school, and my sisters too. So my younger sister and I, we would sit down, and my mom had a sewing machine. We'd go thrifting, and we'd find a couple things that we liked, and we thought maybe we can do something with them. And, you know, mom would get involved, and we'd ask her for ideas or whatever, and we would remake them or, you know, do something to them to make them a little bit cooler, make them work for us. You know, I don't know how good those outfits turned out to look. They probably looked like what they were, but those were fun times for us. And it was a way for something that our mom had given us, you know, that ability to sew and that creative ability for us to all kind of celebrate that together during hard times. So,
yeah, that's very true. I mean, especially like the idea of passing on a skill, like in your case, you know, with being able to go to a store and pick up certain clothes and then make them together, the thriftiness of it all, you know, especially now as we see the push to wear certain things and the cost of clothes and the cost of everything, it is a valuable thing that we can tell other people, you know, is to take advantage. So one of the things that I'm listening to you that I think would be helpful to our viewers is, you know, the things that you're learning can become the very memories for you one day. And the things that you're experiencing maybe now as hardships, you might be laughing and smiling at them in a week or in 2 weeks or the next year. And then second, as I'm hearing you talk, is they may very well be things that you not only laugh at, but you could pass on to a sister, a child, maybe even teach a class on how to save when it comes to clothes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is something that I have been passing on to my own daughters. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's cool. Sometimes our hardest times are the times when we need to be most resourceful. So we can learn a lot through those times, and that resourcefulness and the skills that we learn can carry on with us for the rest of our lives. And that's exciting. It's a great source of joy.
It is. So tell me more about, as far as the things, you know, you're an author, you deal with a lot of obviously ideas and concepts, and you've written award-winning books. You're a speaker, you're a consultant, a coach. Deal with a lot of people's situations. So, like, just tell our viewers, what are some things that you do maybe outside of your field, perhaps maybe a hobby or something, even that you may just want to share with us, that you do that just lets you create? You know, as an author, I'm sure that you are obviously you're a creative type. Where do you get your own creativity, your ideas from? Is there a place? Is there a certain time of the year where you seem to write more? Does it just come and go? Like, help us understand more about your own creative process.
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm a really hard worker. I like to, you know, I like to work hard, and so I'm a kind of a driven person. So I'm pretty self-motivated. So one of the things that I've had to learn is that I will push myself until I run up against the wall, and then I'll keep pushing, and I'm trying to make something happen. And that's not the best time for creativity. You know, that's not the best conditions for creative thinking. So I've had to learn that one of the most valuable things for my creativity is rest, and taking breaks, taking time away, and just giving my mind, taking the pressure off, giving my mind a break, and letting it just kind of play, you know, be at rest, be at play. And it's amazing to me how I may be, you know, on Friday afternoon, just really frustrated, just working myself really hard, trying to come up with an idea or do some brainstorming or whatever, and just feel like I'm burnt out. I don't, you know, I've lost my, I don't have it anymore or whatever. And then I take the weekend and I do something fun, and I come back on Monday morning and I've got it back. You know, it's there. So it's not, so instead of pushing myself to keep working at it, keep pushing at it, just stepping back and taking a break and just enjoying life is a great way for me to actually kind of recharge my creativity.
Yeah, and I love that. It's because the creative types and the driven creative types, they seem to need that just unplugging, like really just to kind of get away from things and to not do more stuff, but actually the opposite is to like almost like just stop, just decompression. Now, when you do stop, I'm just imagining you probably love your house. You have maybe a nice, maybe a garden. I'm not sure if there are certain parks or certain areas that you enjoy. What walk us through like when you decompress, like what does it look like? What do you do? Do you enjoy like a certain place in your home, or do you enjoy a certain food or a restaurant? Like what do you normally do when you are just kind of decompressing?
Yeah, well, I have a husband and two kids, so that's part of it, you know. Just regular life with a family takes up a lot of my time. But we live close to, even though we're here in the suburbs, we live close to a nature trail that, or a, like a bike path that goes, it's just goes about pretty much behind the houses that are across the street from us. So we can just pop on over there, get on that path. It goes for miles and miles. It's wooded. It's really nice. It connects to all these other paths. So I love to get out there and get outside. So whenever I can, depending on the time of year and the weather, I'm out there every day as much as I can. So just finding ways to get outside, be in nature, be where it's, you know, relatively speaking, kind of quiet, or there is a different kind of sound. You know, right now on that path goes through it's a marsh, protected marsh area. And I was walking through there with my husband yesterday morning, and just the sound, it's not quiet at all, you know, but it's a different kind of sound because there are all these frogs that have recently hatched, and all these bullfrogs that are, you know, making all this sound. And it was very noisy with the frogs and the birds, but it was beautiful sound. And it's a different kind of sound. So yeah, just getting outside and hearing something different and smelling and, you know, experiencing through my senses, just a different, different place. And, you know, cause it is different every day, right? I love spending time outdoors.
That's wonderful. That's great. Yeah, I really can imagine just you walking through a path, and I've never heard, I'm trying to remember, have I ever heard, I guess you can probably think of frogs and their noise, and it is loud. So that's really amazing. Thank you so much for talking about that. I'm thinking as we wrap up, you know, I'm so impressed just by your commitment to your family. As we've mentioned, your writing, how you're speaking and helping people. As we close, are there maybe one or two practical things that you can recommend to our viewers, to our listeners? You know, maybe as we said, they are someone who is in the middle of feeling overwhelmed by an aging parent, or by someone who maybe they're, like I said, a teenager or a younger person who is unsure of what's going on. They're watching this thing in their home, or maybe with someone at school or a friend at school. Maybe they're in high school and they're not sure what to do to really help that person out. What are two or three things that you would recommend to these individuals on how to go about caring for that person? What would you say?
Yeah, I think number one, honestly, is to care for yourself and to recognize that you're, no matter how much you love the other person and you want to care for them, you're not going to provide good care for them if you yourself are depleted and in need of care or in need of help. So if you feel depleted, if you feel exhausted all the time, if you yourself are experiencing, you know, anxiety or depression or something like that, you know, get some care for yourself and get the help that you need, or find I always encourage people to look for a support group if they're really in a challenging home situation, because other people out there are experiencing similar things, and it can help just to connect to other people, hear from them and get their ideas, and then just know that there are people you know, you're not the only one. There are other people out there too. So I would say number one is just care for yourself. Get the rest you need, you know, eat well, exercise, take care of your body and your mind and take breaks. Make sure that you're okay so that you can better help the other person to be okay. I always encourage people to, you know, just to get better educated about whatever they're dealing with. So if it's, you know, someone in your family is experiencing a mental illness, or you're caring for someone who, like you said, with high blood pressure, or you know, diabetes, or just any of these sort of chronic issues that can cause someone to need a caregiver, I encourage you to really find out about that health problem and get better informed if you have questions or you kind of feel like you're in the dark, because that you know, knowledge is power, right? So that information and that education can really help you feel more confident in dealing with the situation you're dealing with, maybe help you even make some changes that might make the whole situation healthier for everybody involved. So just seeking that information, knowing that it's out there and you can ask questions and find out what you need, I think can be really helpful.
That is so awesome. I love that, because it's the idea of you have to be aware of yourself. You know, you really have to. I mean, I love what you said about taking care of yourself first, because it's so easy to immediately go to, okay, I need to do something. I need to take care of that person. And the trap is that you don't realize that this is a process, that it takes time for that person to come to a better place. And so you have to kind of like have the Gatorade and I'm thinking of hiking, you know, just going with that analogy of going out for a hike. You have to bring water. You have to make sure your backpack is filled with some trail mix and maybe a cell phone in case you quote get lost. And then I love the second part of it's not just kind of the preparation, but you also have to be aware. Like, you know, many people don't know how to deal with anxiety, and it's really too much for all of us to expect ourselves to know everything about everything out there. Mm-hmm. I really love what you're saying about that. That is amazing. Well, Amy, I am so thankful for our time together. This has been so enlightening for me to learn about you, to connect the dots from the person I'm watching on the stage, you know, there at Saddleback, like this bigger than life person, and then to be able to spend these brief moments with you, and to be able to really hear from you here in this Google Hangout more about how to find joy as a person who is caring for somebody in need. So I really appreciate that. Thank you. But before we wrap up, something that we do here on Gozo TV regularly, it always makes me laugh, and hopefully it makes our guests laugh, and certainly we hope that it makes our viewers laugh, is to tell some jokes. And the reason we do that is because, again, life, it always is trying to bring us down and make us really sad and serious. And I know for me, I learn most when I'm laughing. And so I think you're ready with a joke. So I wanted just to give you a minute or two here to kind of find it. And then what we're going to do here, guys, is just make you laugh here for a second. So you ready, Amy, to tell us your joke?
Yeah, I got it.
So go ahead. Go for it.
Okay, so there are three friends, and they were in an accident. And unfortunately, they were killed in this accident. So after they died, they all went to heaven, and they were in heaven orientation, okay? And in the orientation, they were all asked the same question. Now, when you're in your casket and your friends and your family are mourning over you, what do you want to hear them say about you? So the first guy said, oh, I would like to hear them say that I was one of the great doctors of my time, and I was a great family man. The second man says, I would really love to hear that I was a wonderful husband and a school teacher who made a huge difference in the lives of children, the adults of tomorrow. And the last guy thinks for a minute, and then he says, you know, I guess I'd like to hear them say, look, he's moving.
Oh, no. that he was still there, huh? Like still ticking. Oh man, that is crazy. Okay, well, I have one also. Okay, it's similar. Okay. It's got this this not quite going to heaven thing, but along the same lines. So after church, a mom asked her very young daughter what the lesson was about. So the daughter answered, the message was, don't be scared, you'll get your quilt. And needless to say, the mom was perplexed. Later in the day, the pastor stopped by for tea. And the mom asked him what morning Sunday school lesson was about. He said, oh, it's easy. It was, be not afraid, thy comforter is coming. I can picture my daughter saying that. Oh, boy. Well, thank you so much, Amy. Before we go, I wanted to give you a chance to tell us, how can our viewers and our listeners get a hold of you? You know, what is, if someone wanted to buy your book, someone wanted to reach out to you as far as a coach and a life counselor, how can they get a hold of you? A Facebook page, a website, an email? Tell us about how to get a hold of you.
Yeah, I do have a website. It's amysimpsononline.com. Okay. And Simpson is spelled S-I-M-P-S-O-N, just like the Simpsons.
Right.
And then I am on Twitter at A-R-E Simpson. I do have a Facebook page also. It's Amy Simpson / Amy, well, it's facebook.com, amy.simpson.author. And those are three good places to find me. The book itself, Troubled Minds, Mental Illness and the Church's Mission, it's published by InterVarsity Press, so they can find it there. It's on Amazon. It's on christianbook.com. You know, you can find it on my website. It's pretty much where you buy books. So it's pretty easy to find if you're looking for it.
Wonderful, wonderful. And we'll put all of those notes in the links at the bottom of this webcast. So thank you again, Amy. I'm so delighted, as I said, to have a chance to just have these brief moments with you. Make sure out there, everyone, that you like this video, that you comment. Make sure you subscribe to this channel, Gozo TV, and where every week we have amazing guests just giving us just perspective and helping us to experience joy as we go through life. And once again, Amy, thank you so much for being our guest here this afternoon.
Thank you. I enjoyed talking with you.
All right. Thanks again, Amy. Bye-bye.
Bye.